that bother you never bother me. I feel happy and fine, ha-ha! Living in the sunlight, loving in the moonlight, having a wonderful time.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Welcome back to the show. This is the Two Dumb Yinzers.
Yes, yes, it is.
And this is episode 507. And I see Derpy. Derpy's trying to clock in. I think that's what's going on with my screen. Like, because I usually see myself and you.
Yeah.
And it turned into two of me. Now I see two of me and I don't see you. But whenever I shrink my screen, now I see Derpy, so. Everybody's here. It's all
everyone's here. That's all that matters.
Everyone's here. Good morning, Derpy.
Derpy.
I guess Derpy has bad diarrhea, so he's gonna be a little.
He's gonna come a little off.
Yeah, yeah. He may have to. Yeah, that might be it. He might have to go. Good morning, everybody. Yeah. Welcome back. Oh man, Mike, I'm glad you fixed your ticker today.
Yeah, like I proofread that thing and I don't know what happened yesterday.
We could Teely use your help.
I'm like, oh god dang it.
And then there's like words were like all crunched together and everything else.
Yeah,
like,
I had to space it back out. I was doing everything like last minute yesterday, rushing.
It looks good though. I like it.
Yeah.
Like when I went back, it certainly has an effect that you're watching the show. Yeah. And you know, looks good, man.
You know, I just got to think of more stuff to add to it, you know?
Yeah. No, it looks good. Yeah.
You know, that's why I'm here.
Guys, I don't know if anybody's buying anything off of this, but I just read yesterday, as a matter of fact, that the Temu app that seems to come standard on all phones now, apparently there's a lawsuit claiming shopping app Temu gives company access to literally everything on your phone, according to Channel 11 WPXI. Everything on your phone is given access to Temu if you commerce with them.
I did not know that. I didn't use the Temu app, so I'm good.
I was a bit skeptical and a bit suspicious of this app to begin with. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, it's very peculiar. I mean, just a lot of things about it almost seem too good. Why wouldn't you buy a $4 TV from Temu? You know what I mean? Even if it's not going to work, it's a $4 TV. But just, you know, things like this made me awfully skeptical of the whole Temu thing. And then also, like I said, every phone I bought, the past two phones I bought, it's already installed on the phone.
Temu's taking over, man. They're trying to take over Amazon, it looks like.
How far is that going to go with people knowing now that they, you know, give everything on your phone? Like,
yeah, well, a lot of people just don't care anymore. They're like, okay, yeah, whatever.
I fear that's the case. And, you know, and that's scary because, like, seriously, I mean, everything on your phone, on your phone, it's not just, you know, one thing or another. It's everything on your phone they have access to.
You know what? At this point, just take it. Mistake, you know, people if they improve my credit score, go right ahead.
I watch a lot of dirty movies. I don't know. I'm just a little, there's some things I don't want the Chinese to know, you know.
You know, the NSA already knows, might as well the Chinese know it too.
Yeah. Derpy, you here?
Oh, there we go.
There we go. Derpy. Holy shit, you're alive.
Yep.
How you feeling, man?
Derpy has made it into the building.
Derpy is in the house, everybody. How you feeling?
I'm appearing twice on the show.
I see that. I don't know what's going on with the screen today.
You're not on my screen, so that's all that matters. I don't have to look at them. I'm good.
I see two of Derpy, and that's it.
I see nothing of Derpy, so I'm happy. I just hear Derpy. That's all I need to do. I just need to hear Derpy.
I know.
You know, like in White Men Can't Jump. You can listen to Jimmy, but you can't hear Jimmy.
No, it's nothing like White Men Can't Jump. But yeah, no, I get the reference. I like it. Yeah. But yeah, so there you go, everybody. If you're shopping at Temu, you're putting everything in your phone at risk. to be shared and taken and used or whatever people do with your information. I don't know. Also, guys, Lord Jacob Rothschild dies at age 87. Now, he's one of these creepy old dudes that you see every time that people get, you know, they get all conspiracy theory-ish and they start talking about, you know, the
power, the Rothschilds.
The Rothschilds, yeah. So Lord Jacob Rothschild dies, guys, age 87.
87, under mysterious circumstances.
Yeah.
Yeah, at 87, mysterious.
Suicide, shot himself in the back of the head 3 times, shit, you know?
Or jumping out the window.
Yeah, some Clinton shit.
Now, that's some KGB stuff.
That's how you could go back and look at all those people that died under the Clinton administration. There are all these bizarre.
Yeah. No, they've killed everyone. We can't find any evidence, but they did it. They must be master criminals. And they are
because there's a lot time. Like that's documented. That, like I said, they have multiple gunshot wounds to the back of their head and it's considered suicide and shit like this. And they're all fucked up, man.
Booga booga. The Clintons are out to get you.
Thinking damn right they are.
For one bad land deal in Arkansas, they became criminal masterminds.
That's where they
that's
all
how
end
the
up.
Ball got rolling.
That's how they all end up is in Washington, D.C. That's where all the criminals go. I don't care who you are, what side they are, what color, what race. I don't trust any of them.
This is Ryan's campaign kickoff.
Yeah, we do have campaign kickoff. Oh, it's gonna get real interesting this year, especially when shit starts popping off, man. I promise you, this is gonna be a crazy year. I promise. But until then, I got a new addiction. I discovered.
What is this?
Well, I discovered. Now I've always known about this person, but now I'm oddly intrigued and fascinated by Tiny Tim, singer, and you might recognize his greater. More familiar song from TikTok. Tiptoe to the window. That dude. Go watch some Tiny Tim videos. You're gonna be oddly fascinated with him. I really believe this. He's strangely genius if you really watch him, because Tiny Tim was way out of his element, especially for the time that he was famous and out doing Tiny Tim things. It was way outside of his time. It was, he's a real ugly dude. He's like an ugly or Weird Al Yankovic, basically.
Yeah, I'm looking at the picture now. Yeah,
and he gets up on stage and it's so awkward, and you could feel the way people are looking at him just because he's so weird. And he gets up there and he kind of smiles with this crazy weird smile. Then he sings like this, and it's, I don't know. There is something that is fascinating about this Tiny Tim, and I don't know why I've ever thought this or seen this or it never crossed my mind. But I was doing some work, and you know that one song on TikTok, "Tiptoe Through the Window," was on. I thought, who the fuck? What is this? What is this insaneness? What is this madness? And sure enough, it's Tiny Tim.
Tiny Tim. Ryan's new obsession that's going to last 3 weeks.
With
I'm going to have to think about it every day.
With his ukulele. Yeah. And the fact that, like I said, there's no appeal to the guy. He's not a good-looking guy. It isn't like, you know, famous people nowadays. You got to be, like, real good-looking. The dude's the ugliest guy I've ever seen in my life. And he doesn't. And his talent is so bizarre and odd. And some would probably say it's not good at all. But I think almost like Bob Dylan, you have to take the genius of it and
run with it.
And run with it. And let it sink in. Let it grow on you like mold.
Like mold. He said like mold.
The Tiny Tim. There it is. That's my new fascination.
Oh, my God.
Who would have thunk I would have discovered Tiny Tim this year? But there it is.
That was not on my bingo card.
I'm gonna do the whole. We're gonna make a whole song for the show, like a whole entrance song, and it'll be in the Tiny Tim voice.
No, I will not. Play
no,
it.
It'll be no. I'll do it on my end.
I'll mute you.
No. Then I'll pop back in somewhere else, and I'm gonna play that shit. You wait, and it's gonna be about Mike and his head and I don't know. It's going to be great. I'm working on it. New project.
Killing me, Smalls.
Coming soon.
Oh, God.
Yeah, yeah. Come on.
I hate you so much.
Combine, guys. Guys are showing up this week for the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, Indiana. It,
I can't wait.
Like, Lucas Oil Stadium.
There's so many questions.
And right now, everybody's kind of checking in, doing their thing, getting there, getting settled in.
Yeah, interviews, medical. And I think, excuse me, I think believe drills start either, I think they start Thursday.
I got the whole schedule. We're going to go over here in a second.
My bad.
Yeah, you're good, man. They're getting there. They're showing up. It's going to go a couple positions a day through the weekend. It's going to start, as Mike said, on Thursday. The defensive linemen and linebackers, in case you're going to watch. I'm sure it's going to be on NFL Network. I wouldn't imagine in a million years that it's not going to be ran on NFL
Network.
Oh, yeah,
it'll be on the NFL Network, baby.
24-7, basically, you know, with coverage and that. But the defensive linemen and the linebackers, they will be they'll be doing their thing on Thursday. On Friday, the defensive backs and tight ends will be at it, something that we might want to keep an eye on with the DBs.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Saturday will be quarterbacks, running backs, and wideouts. And then finally on Sunday, the offensive line, something else we should be interested in. And then place kickers and special team players.
Yeah.
Imagine going to the combine as a special team player.
Right.
You know?
We're drafting a kicker in the third round.
No, we're drafting a punter, baby.
No, a punter. We're drafting no punter. Get out of here.
I guarantee you we're going to draft the punter in the seventh round.
Yeah.
Out of Iowa. That's what every mock draft I see, like fans do. There's this punter from Iowa that we're drafting.
And that's why we're not going to do it. Too many people are saying it. And I don't know. I just
don't waste any more draft picks on punters. That was like,
Colbert. Come on. You see how that worked out with Presley Harvin. I mean, that's, like I said, with the exception of, you know, like what the Raiders did when they drafted Sebastian Janikowski, you don't see kickers getting taken in the draft often because they're not, you know, kickers are dime a dozen. They really are. And in the top between, you know, the best and the next level down, you know, I just think you're better off. You're going out and get yourself a free agent and
that's the way to go. Like, don't, unless you said, you know, you're getting like a Sebastian Janikowski or a Justin Tucker. Don't.
And the guy was a first round draft pick. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, in that same draft, I think they drafted Shane Leckler in the third.
So, yeah.
They both were great at what they did. They both probably end up being in the Hall of Fame, but you don't want to waste it.
I was looking at something else. Who did I, maybe that Chris Jones, somebody that there's a couple possibilities of places he may go. One of them was Chicago. One of them was one of these other places. Why does players still continue to go to Chicago? I mean, they must just take this money and throw to these guys.
Yeah, that's what it would be. There.
I mean, there's no expectations. You know?
No, because you already got your rings at that point. If you're Chris Jones, cash in at that point.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then he'll disappear into obscurity because, you know, he'll be a defensive tackle on the Chicago Bears. You're not going to, you know.
You're not going to do much. You're not going to do anything there.
Because even when, who was the linebacker that went to Baltimore, Roquan Smith?
Yeah.
You know, you knew he was good, but when he was in Chicago, if he would have stayed there, it would have just kind of dwindled off into the sunset eventually. You just don't get that attention when you're in Chicago. Nobody cares about you. The team's never good. But I would like to see him go somewhere better, different than that.
Yeah, like somewhere to where he can still compete for another like Super Bowl, but on a different team.
But the other one of the thing that made me think this was one of the other teams on the list was the Raiders. And that's another one of them teams.
Yeah.
You kind of basically go there and just sizzle out your career. You don't really, you know.
And why would you go to your division rival?
Yeah. Speaking of which, Jeremiah Moon, who's a former Baltimore Ravens linebacker. There must be something about this guy because I must have read or seen about 600 different articles over the past couple weeks. They picked him up off of waivers in late January. Jeremiah Moon, the outside linebacker from the Ravens. They signed him to a one-year $915,000 deal. Now, it just seems weird to me because with that kind of money, it doesn't seem like they expect too much from the guy.
Yeah.
And what did they make it such a big deal then? Is it just because we're getting a Raven? Maybe it's almost like the slapping back of, you know, them picking up a steal, that, you know, the Arthur Millett. And it just has a weird vibe to it, man.
No, I don't know why. I think, you know, because every time a team does something, they do have to announce it, at least on their website. And then, you know, then all the fans on Twitter pick it up. So it just gets blown up everywhere.
I mean, for the guy to be nothing. I mean, we've seen, what, you know, Ren, whatever that guy's name was. Rennell Wren. You know, I've seen his name come across the board a million times over the past year for getting signed, getting dropped, getting picked up, getting cut.
Yeah, because every time you do a roster move, the teams have to announce
it. What I'm saying is nobody cares about, you know, nobody thought twice about Rennell Wren. It's like, oh, this is just one of them moves. But I got to say that this Moon.
The fans are eating it up. I think you hit it on the head. People are eating it up because he was a Raven.
I think that's what it is.
That's all it is. He's nothing special.
Like a ha-ha, you caught our Arthur Millett last year. We got
we got this guy right here.
Jeremiah Moon. Like,
four tackles.
That's what I'm saying. And he's an outside linebacker, which makes sense. You would bring a guy in for depth at that position. Yeah. I don't know what they're going to do with Marcus Golden. I think they had to hang on to him. But, you know, for a guy that has, you know, three or four tackles, I mean, you know, it doesn't make much sense. And for that money, you can't be expecting much from either. No. So, again, it's just kind of an oddball move.
I think it's just going to be a depth piece, someone to, like, you know, if he has something, okay, we'll keep him. Maybe on the practice squad in case of emergency. But I don't think he's not going to be a key backup.
Right. I'd be surprised. Exactly. I'd be surprised if this guy sees the field with the numbers he has.
Maybe. You never know. Special teams.
What else? What else? T. Higgins was franchised by Cincinnati. Interesting move there.
Oh, he was officially franchised.
Yes. So you're expecting T. Higgins to land on your sidelines this year, play football. That's not going to happen. Also, Mike, the other day we were talking about the possibility of Mike Evans showing up, you know, in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. The Steelers are another team on the list of possibilities for Mike Evans.
I'll take it.
I would, dude. If you could have Mike Evans, Terpy, if you could have Mike Evans on one side and George Pickens on the other side, and a quarterback throwing, you know, anything better than what the quarterbacks have thrown in the past couple of years, we're pretty deadly. I mean, you got to think, if George Pickens was on a team that had a consistently good quarterback, he would be way better than what he is as far as numbers goes. He's just dying. And then you get a guy opposite the side of George Pickens, somebody like Mike Evans. That opens up the game a little bit more for one of those two guys, depending on how, you know, teams play you.
Yeah.
You know, so that could be such a huge improvement for a team like the Steelers. I said, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to come down to the quarterback play. And I got to say, I don't know what to expect yet. I'm seeing more and more and more shit keep coming out about Russell Wilson and about this. You'd expect those things to start dying off if they weren't going to happen. There's like conversations, you know, that are happening that I thought, you know what, this should have been talked about for about a month now, but.
You know,
I wouldn't be upset.
You get Russell Wilson, because he's talking like he will take the vet minimum to play. If you're able to get that and the numbers that he put up last year, that's a bargain. And then if, you know, God, you land an actual stud in free agency in Mike Evans. Yeah, he's on the downside of his career, but he's still a damn good receiver. That's a win in the offseason right there.
Russell Wilson,
that hides a lot of warts on your offensive line.
The Russell Wilson, though, he only has like a 13-21 record over the past two seasons, which our quarterbacks who aren't throwing the touchdowns that he is have a better, you know, a way better record than Russell Wilson has over the past 2 years. And you know what? Denver was pretty decent. They had, you know, the beginning of the year, they started off shitty. They got beat by 75 points. And then they had a pretty good year. They had potentially was going to make the playoffs if a couple of things would have happened, went their way. And people might say, well, you know, if he played on a good team, I don't know any good teams in Pittsburgh. So, you know, I don't know if that would matter to anybody.
66% completion percentage, 3,000 yards, 26 touchdowns to 8 interceptions. But
he can't win, though.
His record
is terrible. I mean, you want a worse record if the guy gets better stats?
Well, you got a defense giving up 35 points in a loss, 70 points in a loss, 31 points in a loss, 42 points in a loss.
We're overlooking our defense.
26 points in a loss.
We're looking the fact that our defense gives up 40 points a game in playoff games. We don't have, we definitely don't have a great defense.
But you know, I'm just saying, in those losses, those defenses gave up a lot of points, and that's not on him.
I got to tell you, though, San Fran scored a lot against us. Texans scored a lot against us. Most teams that beat us scores a lot against us as well. So, again, I mean, is he, you know, I don't know.
Looking at his, like, stat lines, though, they're a whole hell of a lot better than the three quarterbacks we had last year. So,
but, again, would you want to trade good stats for a worse record?
I think we'd trade better stats for a comparable record.
How does that make sense? Better. The guy hasn't won over 2 years. He has a 13-21 record.
It's a team stat too. You know, he can't go out there and play defense.
Like but our defense certainly shits the bed too.
I'd rather have our defense than the Broncos defense.
I don't know. So we'll see.
I'd rather have them than I'd rather have Russell Wilson than Mason Rudolph and Kenny Pickett and Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see, Mike. We will see.
I'll take him.
I just think to myself, I would love to see him come here and put up 36 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. But again, I don't want to compromise wins either, which our guys find ways to win football games.
There's no more. I get your point. I get your argument.
I get your argument. They what?
Yeah, but there's like zero margin for error, like with the quarterbacks we have. You have to keep it close.
Mm-hmm. We don't know how to play. Yeah, we'll see.
Right. But we are 9-2 in one score games last year.
We were 9-2. You're right.
But, you know, how long can you ride that out? But, you know, we've been doing that for about 2 years.
These quarterbacks now, so we have, winning.
But I want better than that. I want, you know.
You want better stats. That's all.
I want better stats that, you know, will lead to better victories.
That's not guaranteed, though. The one thing that we do know is these quarterbacks find ways to win. But again, I understand your argument, and you know, we will see.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So again, the combine starts Thursday. I'm very interested to watch to see how this plays out, guys. You're definitely going to want to watch the days. There's going to be positions of interest, defensive line. You know what? But pretty much every day, defensive
just about
line,
every day,
linebackers, because we, you know, we're in need there. On Thursday, defensive backs, tight ends. Friday, running backs, wide receivers, quarterbacks. So pay attention if you're a Steelers fan. Gonna be a lot of good players. It's gonna be a lot of fun to watch what these guys do.
Yeah, especially like my guys who aren't gonna be your first rounders. This is the time to find those guys that you're gonna second, third, fourth round, fifth round guys. The combine to see who's putting up who has the ability that you're really not seeing on tape. But this is like also the dangerous time too. You get someone like a Mike Mamula, you blow up the combine, he rides up the draft boards. And it turns out you can't play football. You can just run drills.
Right. You know, I was reading through today. I was reading through some of the questions that the intelligence test they do for the combine. And I was going to make the question, one of the questions, the trivia question. Oh, dude, they're way too easy. There's no way that these guys, some of these guys that don't do well on this test, don't do well. I'm going down the list. There's probably about 100 questions. And it's basically just shit that you have to think. That's all.
Yeah.
You know, if
and it's time too and everything.
And you have 300. Say you have 300 and you cut that in half and then multiply that by 3 and then add 7 and it gives you 4 choices. Yeah. And I thought there's no possible way that anybody could fail this. But you know what? There's guys that have trouble with the intelligence test. Yeah. So.
But yeah, they can go out there and ball. Like CJ Stroud was supposed to be like a drooling.
Yeah, but
idiot.
You see with some of these dummies though. I mean, come on, you're out there making bad, dumb plays in big game situations. And that's what I think when it really matters, you know.
Yeah, but like when that test last year, apparently CJ Stroud should have had like a rag to wipe the drool off his face. You hear him in interviews, dude's smart, thoughtful, intelligent, and then you watch him play. Like some of these tests don't matter.
But you know what? That's one person. I know a lot of dummies also that don't make the league because they're dumbasses. Matter of fact, I know a couple personally that didn't like the league because they're pretty stupid. But you know what? I was going to do it, but I refused. I thought there's no way I'm going to insult the intelligence of the people on the show.
Oh, I would have failed that test.
No, you wouldn't have, guys.
I would have choked under pressure. I would have overthought the whole entire situation.
Well, we'll do it. We'll do it tomorrow. We'll do the whole test tomorrow.
Oh God, no!
Oh God.
Now, Yin's guys will cheat.
I will too.
I know you will. I did see the fight, the video, the Cam Newton fight. It was so bizarre. Like you said, he's, you know, 8 feet tall. But them guys were wailing on him. And I thought this is where you get into problems. As I mentioned with Jason Kelce when he was shirtless and drunk up in Buffalo. You get with regular people in regular situations.
Yeah.
And, you know, they start hitting on you. Now you have, you know, there's a big liability here because for one, you're a multimillionaire. And all you got to do is look at somebody the wrong way and, you know, and then they're suing you. I just think that that's a real sticky situation, especially for somebody like Cam Newton and his money. And I mean, it was an all out brawl.
He 3-on-1. He handled himself well.
And let's say somebody gets clocked in the nose and gets their nose busted. You know, some way it's going to come back to, you know, he's somehow responsible and it's his event. And
yeah.
I'm always skeptical of that. And I was kind of with Jason Kelce, I thought the same thing. I thought, man, that's kind of a crazy move. Once you're out there with the people, it's a whole different game. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't trust the people.
You can't, but did you notice his hat did not move?
There was so much going on. I couldn't tell. Like I said, those guys were really wailing on him. I thought, what did he do? You know, what did you do? Dude?
Like, did you guys ever watch him play football? You know, this is what he did, man. He five people on him, him laughing.
All the football players, though, it's Cam Newton.
I don't know if he was laughing, but he was certainly
holding one dude, like three guys off, and like punching them all at the same time. It was wild.
I didn't see that. I didn't see any laughing, but I definitely seen a lot of people flying, moving around, fists flying through the air, people getting clubbed. And then finally the security runs in about 30 seconds after the, you know, in the video, I'm thinking, right? Where were they at?
They're like his offensive line in the Super Bowl. Y'all are short.
They sure weren't keeping an eye on Cam Newton. No, they weren't.
They're checking out all the hot moms there.
They come running into the screen with their security shirts. And I thought, fuck, where have you been? Where have you been?
Right.
This is what you're here for. Biggest comeback next season, guys. Any of these players going to be your comeback player of the year? We have Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow, J.K. Dobbins, Nick Chubb, Trevon Diggs, Christian Gonzalez.
Oh, yeah.
And Anthony Richardson. Who has the biggest comeback season next year?
Oh, yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow, J.K. Dobbins, Chubb, Trevon Diggs, Christian Gonzalez, Anthony Richardson. I know that most people are going to say Joe Burrow, but don't be afraid to be creative.
It's going to be Aaron Rodgers. That's all anyone's going to talk about.
Dobbins or Chubb.
But you know what? Aaron Rodgers was all that everyone talked about this year, and he lasted all of 8 seconds. You know what I mean? You think Aaron Rodgers will be the guy? You think he'll be comeback player of the year?
I think so, yeah. Unfortunately.
Would you say Derpy, Nick Chubb?
Dobbins. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good pick too. I mean, they're all good possibilities. You know, it's really going to take somebody like
Kirk Cousins, maybe.
Kirk Cousins
could be.
Yeah.
No, he's an affable fella. People love him.
And that's with Kirk Cousins, it all just depends where he lands. You know what I mean? I think there's a lot of potential for him to have a great season if he, if he has the right pieces around him.
What's the board say?
I don't know. Mike's just laughing to himself.
Mike sounds like Phoebe when she was sick and could sing well with a raspy singing voice.
See, now why ain't I getting anything on the board?
Yeah, refresh your YouTube.
Oh, holy shit. King Turd.
Great name.
I love it. Good morning, Brian. Good morning, King Turd. King Turd in the window.
Oh my God. I hate you.
Guys, these are according to the Pro Bleacher Report. These are the top 9 helmets in college football. You ever wonder who has the nicest helmet? Who has the coolest helmet? These, according to the Bleacher Report, is your 9 top helmets in the college football, guys. You ready for this, Derpy?
I'm ready.
Let me start at number 9 and I'll work my way up. Number 9, North Carolina. North Carolina.
Really?
Yeah. They have the white helmets with the blue UNC or whatever it is they have going on. That's the
That's surprising.
That's the ninth best helmet in college football, according to pro per Bleacher Report. I'm sorry. Number eight, Arkansas. Arkansas is the really? Eighth. Yeah. Number seven, Miami. Miami Hurricanes. Yeah. Six, Oregon. Oregon.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
The thing about Oregon, they have different helmets every week.
Yeah.
And one day exactly. They're shiny. One day they have a mirror on it. One day they're... I dig. I like the whole... I like what they're doing. Number five, Pitt. I've heard this before. Pitt.
Number four. I don't see it with
yeah.
Pitt. And that's expected, so I'm just going to keep moving on. But a lot of people do say... a lot of people do say that it's a pretty helmet. Number four, Florida State. Florida State.
Yeah. Senior.
Number three, Florida, the Gators. Number two, Notre Dame. You knew that one had to be up there. And number one, guys, I'm surprised by this. Ohio State.
Ugh. Really?
Yeah. That's according to the Bleacher Report. So, Ohio State.
Oh, there's no Penn State in there.
Penn State literally is a blank piece of paper. How you can't have that in there.
Like it's
they used to have the number on the side back in the day, like when Franco played. I would have dug that a little bit more, but it's like
I know Alabama, no Penn State, no Michigan.
I'm surprised. Ooh, yeah, I'm surprised on that.
Well, Michigan?
Yeah, they're not in there.
Yeah, that's a like iconic helmet. It's very pretty.
Mm.
No, it's not.
But hey, you know, Pitt football got something going.
Pitt football has more Hall of Famers from the NFL than almost every other team that plays in the college ranks. So yes, they do have a lot going for them. But the helmet's pretty. Guys, the teams in the NFL with the least amount of cap space. Did you see this list, Mike?
Oh yeah.
I did not.
Mike, you're being very difficult today, I noticed.
It's like with my throat.
You're being a pain in the ass.
It's hard. I'm hard. It's hard to talk. I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm trying to be short.
I did not see this.
You didn't see? Okay, so this is the teams with the least cap space this offseason. Of course, everybody knows that the ceiling got raised for the salary cap. But this, guys, is the teams with the least amount of cap space. Top 10 teams, number 10th team with $8.1 million is the Green Bay Packers. Number 9 is the Steelers with $7.3 million in cap space. 8, the 49ers with $834,000. Number 7, the Cleveland Browns, a negative $6.2 million. Cowboys, a negative $8.1 million. At number 5, the Broncos, a negative $10.7 million. Number 4, the Chargers, negative $22 million. The Dolphins, number 3, negative $38 million. Number 2 is the Saints, $40 million. And the Buffalo Bills sit at number 1 with negative $41.7 million, Mike.
Ouch.
That's ouch. A big ouch.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Steelers, though, I know they can create a lot of cap space real quick.
Oh, they sure can. Well, will they, though?
Omar Khan cooking.
The con artist.
He'll figure something out.
What do you think about Omar Khan? What do you think Omar Khan feels about somebody like Cam Hayward? I mean, you know, Omar Khan's not a dumb guy. He looks at he watches a game. He sees the amount of production compared to other guys in the league that play that position that are top guys that make good money. You know, how do you think somebody like Omar Khan feels, you know, being in that position? And, you know, is this just going to be one of these, it is what it is. He's a veteran. We're just going to let him play it out, keep his money. How do you think, how would you handle this, Mike?
There has to be like a restructure of sort going on if he wants to keep playing. They might do like the extension, you know, sign him to like a 1-2 year extension. Just to spread out his dead cat money for when because this might be his last year. And if they want to keep him on the team, if they think he has some value, that's what they're going to have to do. And that's what Omar Khan's going to have to figure out is, either cut him, because he it sounds like he's not going to take a pay cut. So if you cut him, you save between dead money and cap savings about $10 million. I'm doing that right there. Right?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Or you can trade him, see if someone will trade for him. That's what I would do.
If I was sitting in that office.
You haven't won anything with him, might as well get rid of him.
And I was talking about this with people. It would come to my mind that this is a 35, going to be 36-year-old man during this upcoming season. A defensive lineman on a team that you need to get pressure, or you need something to happen at that position. You know, whether it be pressure, whether it be, you know, scheming for other people, I'm not happy to say it. I'm not, you know, thrilled to say it, but I think he has to go.
He has to go. Like we used to all the time. Back in the day, we had no problem getting rid of players once they hit a certain age, certain, you know, we're going to let you go. Yeah. You might have a year left in the tank, but guess what? After that, you're going to be done, and we don't want that. Now that's what we have to get back to. I mean, my God, we did it to Joey Porter, who won two flipping Super Bowls. This guy has like one sack in the playoffs in his entire career. I'd rather, you know, be gone. Like we did a legend who actually did something for this team.
Like, and it isn't like you're going to see a big drop off.
You're not.
If you lose him and get a younger guy who's going to be more aggressive, more, you know, more willing to try to make the team, he's going to be trying to really prove. Where Cam, again, you know, there's sometimes he's happy with falling on two guys or falling on the pile two times during the course of the game. You know, I feel that things could only improve by getting rid of Cam Hayward.
Yeah,
dude.
Me too. You're going to get, yeah, you might have some, you know, bumps along the road with a younger guy that you pick up free agency or in the draft, but I'd rather have that than what we're getting from Cam, because what Cam has. But like you have someone young, they're gonna, you know, potentially be better in the long run, and I'd rather have that.
Right.
You know,
name at this point. It's almost like what the Penguins are doing.
Exactly.
You know?
That's what I was about to say. There's this thing now in Pittsburgh where everyone has to stay until they want to go and retire. No, that's reserved for a select few. You know, this team forced Troy Polamalu to retire.
Yeah.
But we're not going to force Cam Hayward to retire. Defensive player of the year, two-time Super Bowl winner. We're going to make you retire. This guy, oh, you're good with the media? You know what to say? Just keep playing forever, even though your defenses have given up 40 points in the playoffs on average.
Yep.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's held up in such high regards of, like, with Troy, with James
I don't
Harrison,
know if there's any team
Porter. I don't get
that's
it.
Having as bad of a run playoff wise as the Steelers are. What was it? The last seven games they're averaging 38, whatever. It was
like
something crazy. Has anybody had,
No. It's unprecedented.
It really is.
And if you're not going to get rid of the coach, you got to get rid of the players. Or you know,
you got to do something.
If you're not going to get rid of the players, you got to get rid of the coach. You can't keep them all.
Yeah.
And they decided to keep the coach. Okay. Get different players.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see the way Omar Khan handles this offseason. Again, we have the draft, we have free agency, we have all kinds of things coming up. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm ready to see the encore for what he does. After last year's performance, I was very, very pleased with his aggressiveness.
Yep.
And, you know, some of the moves played out, some of the moves didn't play out, but you know what? That's the risky take.
Yeah.
I'm very, very excited to see see what goes down this year and getting ready and moving forward. So it's going to be a lot of fun, guys. Combine starts Thursday. So the ball is still rolling.
I can't wait.
It never really ends in the NFL, and I like it.
It does not.
Pitt basketball back at it tonight. They are at Clemson. Clemson's 19-8. Pitt's 18-9. Game's at 7 o'clock p.m. Guys, Pitt, you know, they need to keep winning these basketball games. They're down to, I think, four games left after this. But they're all big at this point. And then, of course, you do have the ACC tournament comes up directly after the season. So cheer on the Pitt Panthers. Check them out tonight, 7 o'clock p.m. Also in college basketball, I wanted to ask you guys about this. The big rushing the court debate that's going on right now. Of course, in the Wake Forest and Duke game over the weekend, Wake Forest upsets Duke. Wake Forest, everybody rushes out on the floor. They're running over basketball players, this, that. Now, the NCAA is threatening to fine the team up to like $1 million. A lot of different scenarios being talked about and going around. this rushing the court has always been a thing in sports. You know, in football, a big team wins an upset game. Basketball, same thing. Why all of a sudden I don't know. My whole life, you see this. You've never seen the fans run these guys over and this be a big issue. Why all of a sudden is this an issue now, guys?
Because it happened to Duke.
Yeah.
But really, that's what it is. Yeah. You watch him stick
out his big goofy ass leg. You and I never agree on much, but every
right
once in a while, you'll sink a shot, and you sunk a shot on that one. I agree with you 100%.
That's the whole reason. It was Duke. Now everyone's like, oh, you need to press charges. You need to arrest everyone.
Fucking crazy.
No, this. How about win the game? Win the game.
Win the game, yeah.
Well, even if you don't win, I think the fans should be able to. Again, this is a tradition thing, and it's just taking things that are good away from and stuff. And I always dug it. Again, I like it in football. I like it in basketball. And just don't be stupid. Don't run people over, for fuck's sake. Come on.
Yeah.
We've been doing this for 100 years. I was involved with in high school. There was a football game, and we'd won a game. We were supposed to win, and it was one of the best feelings in the world to jump down there and run out there and congratulate your teammates and your team. And I don't know. I just kind of chalk it up as we're just in a dumb time, man. Come on.
Taking rid of it. What's the point of college basketball?
Exactly. That's part of the excitement of this time of the year.
Right. I couldn't agree more. Pittsburgh Penguins are back in action tonight. They're all the way over in Vancouver. The Penguins come up with a 26-21-8 record. They're taking on the Canucks, who are 38-16-6. That game's at 10 o'clock tonight. Brian Rust, who is red hot, did not make the trip after getting injured in the game two nights ago. Penguins in a game that the Penguins scored two power play goals versus Philadelphia. Also, Mike Emil Bemstrom, the guy that we did make the trade for over the weekend, scored in his first game with us against Philadelphia the other night. So, that might be a good sign.
It might be a good sign. He is more than I thought he would be. So let's see. If everyone going down, this Jamoke, this bum better step up. Because, you know, right now with no Rust, no Gensel, it's going to be like all Crosby and all Crosby. Hopefully Raquel can do something.
And that's such a shame about Brian Rust. He's red hot.
Yeah.
He's the hottest player on his team right now.
Yeah, outside. Yeah. Like, oh God, this team, like, I don't, they're not going to make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to win this game. Vancouver is just on a different level than we are right now.
Hey, P, how you doing, my man? They used to rush the court at NC State if we ever managed to beat Duke or North Carolina in the 90s. Granted, it was rare. No, but you know what? It is what it is. Yeah. Rare or not, it's, you know, come on. If we're screwing shit up like this, you know, we have to really evaluate what's going on here, because something that's been going on forever. And like you said, if it wasn't this big, tall white kid from Duke.
Exactly. No one would care about it. No one would care. But it was Duke. And he's like, oh, I felt like this was personal. Duke in their student section, they print out, you know, stuffs to yell at players, stuff about their parents.
And it's
going to
be personal
history,
because that's what they beat Duke. That's what happens. Everybody, they have a big target on their chest because they're one of the top teams all the time. Yes, it is personal. But you know what? It's not personal. Don't get me wrong. The guy that pushed him, you've seen him like do a pushing motion there at the end, which I thought wasn't cool. But take that guy and handle him the way that he needs to be handled. You can't take this out of sports. I think that's insane, especially college sports. This is where it happens. These kids are excitable. They're charged up. And if you upset a team like Duke and you're not a very good team usually, that's exciting.
That's what happens.
Come on, you know? Marc-Andre Fleury on how he gets over letting up a goal, Mike. I don't know if you saw this. Marc-Andre Fleury candidly answered while asked a question, how do you get over giving up an important goal in a game? How do you get your mind right? He says, quote, just stay a little... just sing a little Taylor Swift. Shake it off, Marc-Andre Fleury says to answer that question.
I inspired him.
Fleury.
That's my boy.
I love it. That's why
I inspired him.
That's why he is the flower. That's why he is who he is.
I love it. Yeah, I do too.
I used to hear Marc-Andre, shake it off.
Yeah, I would love to have Fleury back for one. If you could bring him back for a season, even if
Oh, it'd be great.
It's at this point, come on, the guy can still play too. It isn't like you're bringing him back for a fun ride and have him fill in.
Yeah,
and sit
he would be like the guy outside.
He's
like
he's like Marty Brodeur at this point.
Yeah,
you know, let the guy come here and do something for crying out loud. Let him be great. Let him go down as a great Penguin. Don't, you know, come on, bring him back.
As Jari leads the league in shutouts.
I know.
I know.
But the other one's the best goalie ever in the game. You know, what do you do? I would take those two guys and figure it out. You know what I mean? Good problems to have. Also, guys, the Bucks, they are back in action today. They play They play somebody. I don't know who they play, but I do know 30 days from today is opening day for the Pirates. Mike, 30 days from today, I know you're going to be down to the stadium.
No.
Waving your foam finger and cheering on your battling Buccos.
No, not at all. I will begrudgingly look at the stat lines because we have to talk about them and read a couple articles.
I believe it's the Braves they play today. They play somebody. They play the Braves at 105. I'm sorry.
No. When Bob Nothing cares about the product he puts out on the field, I'll care about the team.
Tamar Johnson, I think he was our number one pick 2 seasons ago. He's 19 years old.
19.
He goes 2 for 2 yesterday, 2 home runs.
I
don't expect to see him in the pros anytime soon.
No. I would like to see him up by 2021. His age, not the year. I know what year we're in, but you know what I mean? Bring him up in a year or two. I'm excited to see him. Put him, I think he plays short, second base. Him and O'Neill Cruz in the middle of your field. That's what I want to see. That's when I'll get excited. But, you know, in the Buccos, this kid won't be up until he's 25, 26.
The thing is, they have so much young talent right now. If you think about it, Paul Skeens.
Yeah.
Tamar Johnson, Henry Davis, Jared Chirolo, O'Neill Cruz.
But I don't trust this ownership or the front office.
You know, I mean, that's a really promising group of young men. And you would think in a normal situation, they would, you know, eventually build a good team. But you just don't know with the Pirates. You just don't know.
Yeah, I would love to get them up here as fast as they can. You don't want to stunt their development, but you want to kind of accelerate it so they can all get here at a decent time, all play together, kind of like the Cubs did when they went on their little run.
So there you go. 105 today, the Atlanta Braves and the Pirates. Tonight at 7 o'clock p.m., the Pitt Panthers at Clemson. And tonight at 10 o'clock p.m., the Penguins at the Canucks. A lot of Pittsburgh sports going on tonight. Mike, why don't you tell everybody about the website, man?
The2DomYinzers.com. Head on over there. We have links to all of our socials over there. Merch stores over there. The blog's up over there. Just had a fresh one put up yesterday about the draft, what the Steelers should do, who they should look for in each of the 7 rounds. Go check it out. The2DomYinzers.com. And ESP, they need to get on that Barry Bonds cycle.
I wish. I'm a guy. I'm a big fan of the long ball, which is a political way of saying I don't mind them taking steroids, I guess.
Me either. Like, everyone knew they were juicing.
Right. I watch wrestling, and I don't give, you know, you watch wrestling, you don't give 2 shits that these guys are putting whatever in their body. It is what it is. They're there to entertain us.
We romanticize pitchers back in the day that doctored the ball and all how great they are. But guys want to put a little something extra into their body. Oh, no, that's a bridge too far. They all cheat in different ways.
I don't watch wrestling often. However, I've been watching enough lately. You guys know, like, The Rock is back in it. He's in it. He's a wrestler again. Like, not just a promotional guy. Like, he's in big matches coming up and shit.
He weaseled his way into it.
I guess.
He really did. He's on the board now of the company that bought WWE. So, and he weaseled his way into this whole angle and the fans backlash about it. He wanted to be the big hero, the big baby face. And their fans were like, no, we don't want you. So now he's a big heel and he's hating it. And I love it.
Huh. I did get to see Liv Morgan, though. I watched her wrestle last night, which was the main reason.
That is the main reason, Liv Morgan.
I just love her.
How can you not? She's a great athlete. She's beautiful.
Also, I forgot to mention.
You don't care about your balls. I really don't. Exactly.
Wait, what? I missed it.
Pee about the steroids.
Oh, yeah. I don't give 2 shit about their balls.
I don't care about
that. I'd rather them hit home runs for my home team.
Yeah.
You know? I did minstrel to mention, like we were talking about the Pirates, City Connect weekend is the weekend of June 22nd. I think every team in the majors is wearing these City Connect uniforms.
Yeah.
I like it. I think we have the yellow and it says PGH or something on the front, but they also have a Andrew McCutchen City Connect bobblehead that week. So, guys, if you're interested in getting down
that, that is tempting.
I agree. I told you, though, I won't play as long as Henry Davis is in the minors, but that is a pretty luring weekend or week or whatever it may be. The week of the 22nd of June, guys. Real quick, Mike, before we do get into our trivia of the day, I have a list real quick. I'm not going to go through all of them, obviously, but these are the 100 most valuable sports teams in the world. The 100 most valuable sports teams in the world. If you want to know where we stand, the top team, the most valuable sports team in the world is the Dallas Cowboys.
Wow.
Wow.
I'll give you the top 10, and then I'll drop down to where we are, and I'll give you a few other notables, and then we'll move on. The second most valuable sports team in the world is the Golden State Warriors. The Golden State Warriors, guys. Okay. Then the Knicks. Then the Lakers, then the Yankees, that's your top five. Then the Giants, the LA Rams, Patriots, 49ers, and the Jets round out your top 10 most valuable sports teams in the world.
That's insane.
In this list, it includes all of our four major sports. It also has, I see, soccer, teams that I don't recognize or understand what they are also in this list. There's a lot of teams here. But the Steelers are the only Pittsburgh team that did land on this list, guys, and they landed the 27th most valuable sports team in the world. The Pittsburgh Steelers are the 27th most valuable sports team in the world.
That's nuts.
The Seahawks and the Packers.
I thought God, man, so a couple of the soccer clubs would be up higher, like Chelsea and
yeah. Real I mean, you Madrid. See a bunch on there. I just don't know who they are. Unless you really know who you're looking for. The 100th out of the 100 most valuable sports teams in the world, the 100th team, Mike, is the Philadelphia Flyers. The Flyers are the 100th most valuable team in the world.
Ugh.
But we laugh. We failed to mention who's the 41st, the Cleveland Browns. The Browns are the 41st most valuable sports team in the world.
Wow.
That's wow.
So if you get a chance, check this list out, guys. It's under a hockey, it's called hookedonhockey.com. There's a whole graphic. You can pull it up. It's 1 through 100. 100 most valuable sports teams in the world. So pretty cool. All right, guys. Today's going to be a combine question. And no, it's not going to be from the combine, the test. This is just a general combine question. You guys ready?
I'm ready.
Derpy, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Here we go. A typical NFL combine invites roughly how many players? I'm going to give you choices, but think it over until I finish here. Guys, the question of the day is, a typical NFL combine invites roughly how many players? Think it over. I will give you choices. We're live, everybody, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, right here every day from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., and if you missed a show or you just rather listen to the show, we take the live show that we do every day and upload it over on Spotify at 8 o'clock p.m. If you're busy, you're at the gym, you're in the car, you just pop in your earbuds, check it out over at Spotify. All right, fellas, the question of the day is this. It's a combine question. I'm going to give you choices, but let me give you the question one more time. A typical NFL combine invites roughly how many players? Here's your choices. A, 100 to 200 players. B, 200 to 300 players. C, 300 to 400 players. Or D, 400 to 500 players. P on the board says 15. A typical NFL combine invites roughly how many players? 100 to 200, 200 to 300, 300 to 400, or 400 to 500 players? Mike, I'm going to start with you today. How many players does the NFL typically invite to the combine?
Go with B.
B, 200 to 300
Oh,
players.
A. My bad, my bad.
100 to 200 players.
Yeah,
That's your
yeah,
final
yeah,
answer.
yeah.
Okay. Derpy, I'm going to come to you. A typical NFL combine invites roughly how many players in the NFL? Is it 100 to 200 players, 200 to 300, 300 to 400, or 400 to 500 players? Derpy, Mike chose A. I see on the board, Ron, good morning or good afternoon, sir. Also chose A. Looks like P chose A as well. Derpy, what do you think?
I'm going with A.
All right, A, 100 to 200. Question of the day is this: a typical NFL combine invites roughly how many players? Everybody said A, 100 to 200 players. Ron, Derpy, P, Mike. And of course, the answer, guys, is C, 300 to 400
Wow.
players. Annually, 300 to 400 players are invited by the NFL to participate in the combine. So there you have it, guys.
It's nuts.
Who
You learned
knew?
something new. I didn't know
Learned something new. Yep.
that. You know. But yeah, go check out the website, everybody, www.the2dumbyinjures.com. Mike puts a lot of work into it over there, and there's a lot of great things. So go check it out. Mike, anything before we start getting ready to wrap it up?
I got nothing. I literally got nothing today. There's nothing real exciting other than I gotta go play bubbles once we're done here.
Oh, that's all right.
That's
Derpy has
fun.
bubble guts. He'll be shitting himself before you feeling better, Derpy?
Yes, I'm feeling better.
All right. What was it? Your stomach?
My stomach, yo.
Yeah. That was just a start for me. It moved the whole way around my body. It was insane. How you feeling, Mike? You still sound shitty,
I'm great
He
other than
does.
not having a voice.
Yeah. I do want to say thank you to everybody for checking us out. We appreciate each and every one of you, as always. Couldn't we wouldn't do it without you. Also, everybody on the board, we certainly appreciate you guys every day. These guys always help keep things interesting. I also did want to give a couple plugs to some friends in the business.
Bears.
If you like to listen to sports radio here in Pittsburgh, in the Pittsburgh area, on Tuesday and Wednesdays. Tuesday evening from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. is the Sports Corner with Ralph Williams. Ralph talks about sports. His co-host Smoke and Jim is always there with him to talk about all the Pittsburgh sports and much, much more. He is on at 4 o'clock p.m. to 6 o'clock p.m. every Tuesday on WBVP Radio right here in Beaver County. That we have an app. You could always download the app, listen to the shows. You could go online to the website at BeaverCountyRadio.com, or also you could go to Facebook or YouTube because they are both on live. The second one is One Man's Opinion on Sports with Brian Pasquale. That is on Wednesday from 5 o'clock p.m. to 6 o'clock p.m. All the same connections, all the same places. A lot of the times you see the guys on here. Some of the guys on here will be hanging out. Ralph and Brian does come in sometime and engage in conversation with us. So if you like things they have to say, go check them out. Again, Brian Pasquale is Wednesday, One Man's Opinion, 5 to 6. Ralph Williams is the Sports Corner. He is on Tuesdays from 4 to 6. Check them out. Really easy to get to. Facebook, YouTube, just type in WBVP, Beaver County Radio. And I do want to say thank you to them as well. I did want to give those
Yes, check
plugs
them out.
because last week we did get the plugs as well on their shows. But we were sick and down and out, and I may have forgot. I don't even know if I mentioned them guys when we were on. So a lot of cool stuff. Go check them out. They're good guys. They could use the support. Mike, nothing.
I still got nothing except for thanks for checking us out. I really appreciate it.
Right. Derpy.
Let's go Pens. Let's go Panthers.
No Bucks. No, let's go Pirates.
And
No.
yep, no.
Ron said he's suing the
Beaver.
trick question.
Make a Beaver Cleaver.
Beaver Cleaver. If you
I
want,
snuck
I
that one
could.
by.
Yeah, I'm just trying to go through the comments real quick before we go. I don't want to miss anything. As soon as we get off the air, I'll look. I'm like, oh, we should have addressed that. All right. Yeah, guys, like I said, thank you, though, for always keeping it nice. I do see that Ron mentioned Derpy. How Derpy, how was your Kennywood trip?
Throwing up. There you go.
Growing up. That's how I would imagine your trip to the amusement park would be. I don't know why, I just do. I could give us a little bit of a send-off into the day by singing what I usually say. For Mike at the Steeler Studio, and Derpy. No? No Tiny Tim?
No Tiny Tim.
All right. So, for everybody, for Mike at the Beaver, I'm sorry, not the Beaver County, the Steeler Central Mobile Studio. I'm reading two things. I'm talking, and or you could, yeah. So, Mike at the Steeler Central Mobile Studio, Derpy, myself, little tongue-tied right now. Everybody have a great day. We got a lot of Pittsburgh sports to talk about tomorrow. Don't forget, check out the Penguins, Pirates, and the Pitt Panthers tonight. And we'll be back first thing tomorrow to do it all over again. Everybody have a great day. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
No.